Today on Real Radio.
And that particular denomination teaches, and listen, this is very prevalent out there, that Jesus Christ will not come back physically, that it's symbolic teaching. Let me tell you something, how important it is for Christ to come back. Are you ready?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. Having already learned about the Second Coming, we're now having a look at what Christians believe about the rapture. And our key passage that Pastor Jack is using is found in chapter 14 of John, the first three verses. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About the Rapture.
After looking at the last several weeks regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ and what that's about, we now come to what Christians believe about the rapture of the church. And there's a lot of thought about and a lot of talk about the rapture of the church, and a lot of people, quite frankly, in an uninformed way, might say, well, it's a recent doctrine of the Bible in the last 160 years. That's not true. Paul the Apostle makes that clear. Some people might say, well, there's various aspects of what is understood as the rapture, that it happens at one time or some other time or even a time different than all of that. But what does the Bible say about it? And why are there different views about what is called the blessed hope? It's one of the most, if not the most fantastic thing that we await as Christians. So why is there so much debate about it? And why, oh, why would someone who's a Christian want to try to get the rapture to not be an event at all? That it's some sort of mystical teaching or symbolic teaching, and that it's not going to happen at all? I can't understand that when Paul the Apostle himself lived for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It's very evident in his teachings. Well, this evening we're looking at what Christians believe about the rapture of the church, and we will not make it through all the points tonight, so you can relax. We're going to have a good time tonight. And I want to keep a close eye on the clock, because as we go through this, I'm going to do something a little bit different. If you have the stomach for it, I'm feeling kind of ornery tonight, so I think I do. And that is, we'll go through this, and we'll end the service at a comfortable time. And those of you who need to go home or go shopping, you can go do that. And then the rest of us, we'll have just a time of question and answer. And that might be kind of fun. So be thinking about that. If a question comes during this time of our study, and we'll try to do the same next week, if you have you're going to have a question about the study. Don't ask me about, something that is not on this topic. Let's keep the unity of the teaching tonight, but let's have some fun with this, and let's get some questions answered that may be in your heart. And we'll do our best by giving biblical answers and not denominational answers or some persuasion of men. Let's use the Bible as our foundation, and by doing so, we'll always be able to give an answer to every man who asks of us. John chapter 14 is a fantastic chapter for a lot of reasons, but it opens up with a grand, grand greeting, and that which is in fact a crescendo to chapter 14, and some scholars say even to the close of the book, what Jesus introduces. Why is that such an important statement? Because John chapter 14 is considered to be Jesus Christ himself introduction and teaching about the rapture, where Jesus brings it up in John's gospel. And so in your note taking, and I really want to encourage you to take notes tonight, know this, that John 14 verses 1, 2, and 3 is Jesus's introduction to the rapture of the church. And tonight we'll see how that's true. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious. Stop it. The word in the Greek is actually stop being troubled. Whatever's concerning you about my coming back and picking you up, stop it. Don't fret about it, Jesus is saying. You believe in God. Listen to his warm, loving sarcasm. You believe in God. That's a good thing, Jesus is saying. That is necessary. Believe also in me. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's talking about heaven. You all know that. I quote this verse probably more than any other verse in the Bible. You might say, man, I hear that every week. You're going to hear it every week until the Lord comes back or until I drop dead. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if it's not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he went. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to my possession, to myself, to my presence. I will take you to me. Like a child hiding in the fold of the mama's, you know, skirt or something. You know, a little kid that is shy and grabs onto daddy's leg and hides behind daddy's leg and kind of peeks out every so often to see if everything's okay? Jesus says, I'm going to take you to myself. Think about that in your head. I'm going to gather you around me. I'm going to take you to myself. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, a direct reference to heaven, there you may be also. So we've looked at the second coming of Jesus Christ in our previous studies, and we've come to conclude this clearly from the Bible, that the second coming is referred to as the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible says that every eye will see him, Jesus, when he comes back in the second coming. The Bible says, in fact, the scripture gives us his actual approach to landing. He comes from the region of Bozrah, from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says every eye will see him, and all the tribes, kindred, tongues, and nations of the world, all people will mourn and lament at the coming of the Son of Man. Why? The second coming is a tremendous, horrific event to those who dwell on the earth. Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming, fulfilling so many scriptures, but certainly Revelation chapter 19, where he comes out of heaven. The Bible says, riding on a white horse, wearing a robe. And you know what's written on that robe, everybody? Written on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that out of his mouth goes a sharp, two-edged sword. What is that, anyone? The Word of God, right on. And with it, he should strike the nations. In judgment, when Christ comes in the second coming, he will judge the nations, fulfilling, by the way, and performing Matthew's Gospel chapter 25, which is referred to as the separation between the sheep and the goats. That happens, the Bible says, in his second coming. The rapture is altogether different than that. In the rapture, there is no warning, as we shall see in our study. There is no precursor. There is no grand display to the nations or the peoples of the world. It is instantaneous and imminent, and those who participate in the rapture are to be watching and waiting, for you do not know when the time will come. You cannot say that about the second coming. You can open up your Bible, those who will be alive on earth at the second coming, and they would be able to point to chapter and verse of the events that precede the second coming. And I challenged you last time we were together to read the book of Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 12 and see if in those two chapters you would pick up on Jesus's indictment against Israel to know the coming of the Messiah to the nation Israel. It's found in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 12 for the Jewish people. Go look at it. It's quite amazing. The rapture is something altogether very different. And we're going to march through this in our next 2 weeks together. The main thing is that Jesus Christ, as we looked at in the second coming, must come back in a physical return because he must establish his physical reign upon the earth. Now listen, a lot of people who may be your friends, they love Jesus, they love the Bible, but they've been brought up in a denominational persuasion. And that particular denomination teaches, and listen, this is very prevalent out there, that Jesus Christ will not come back physically, that it's symbolic teaching. Let me tell you something, how important it is for Christ to come back. Are you ready? If Jesus Christ does not come back and sit upon a throne in Jerusalem, the throne of David, then he is not the Messiah. He's not the Savior of the world. So sure must Christ sit upon the throne of David, which is not in heaven. It is in Jerusalem, that Jesus must sit upon that throne physically, or else he's not the Messiah. But don't worry, he will sit upon that throne in Jerusalem. Well, yeah, but my denomination doesn't teach that. Your denomination will have a change in its view. You know, it's like Charles Darwin. Darwin began his life believing in God, then got disillusioned and said he didn't believe in God and went out to try to find another explanation for God's creation. And a lot of people talk about, well, did Darwin get born again? We've heard rumors. You know, there's absolutely no evidence that Darwin got born again before he died. But I guarantee you right now, Charlie Darwin's theology is perfect right now. He's got it straight right now. Adolf Hitler thought he was God just about, you know? Well, his theology's straight right now. Can you imagine every atheist that enters into eternity and sees the glory of heaven and as they depart from the presence of God, can you imagine? Their theology's right on. Boy, if they could part the ground and yell up at us and say, man, listen, I was wrong believing Jesus in the Bible. Their theology's right on, you know? When I do a funeral for a non-believer, you know, you can't do a funeral for a non-believer and there's the families there and you can't get too graphic. You can't get graphic about the truth of it all. What you can say is this. If Billy Bob could speak to us right now, he would say, love Jesus Christ with all your heart. You know that's true? That's true if a person's in heaven or hell, isn't it true? Absolutely true. Well, listen. In his grand second coming, he sits upon a throne on earth. That's not true of the rapture. So what do Christians believe about the rapture of the church? Number one, jot it down, write small in your notes. Number one is this. What Christians believe about the rapture of the church is that it is an appearing more than it is an actual coming to earth. Note that. It is an appearing in the atmosphere. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will descend into the atmosphere. So even though Scripture mentions and puts together the rapture, it will state in Bible a coming, but it also, exclusively though, mentions an appearance. Where the second coming is his physical return to earth and Jesus stays, the rapture is in regards to his coming for his church. It's also referred to as his appearing. And that's a very important word. So you're going to want to jot that down for our first consideration, is that the rapture of the church comes as an appearing, that Christ will appear. Again, John 14, 1, 2, and 3, Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you to myself. What is implied is an appearing of Christ in 2 Timothy 4, 8. Finally, Paul says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul loved, past tense, the appearing of Jesus Christ, that imminent reality. All of his life, Paul lived for that. We know that's true as he wrote in 1 Thessalonians. He was waiting for the imminent return of Christ. Paul lived and walked, moved and talked and ministered that way until God spoke to him and said, you're going to die, Paul. You're in prison. Your head's going to roll off your shoulders. You're going to be a martyr for me. Then Paul pens 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says that God is going to give me a crown, which is a very neat thing. God had revealed to Paul that his head's going to roll. You think that moved Paul? You think that bothered Paul? In a wonderful spiritual act of defiance, in the face of, you know, doubt, as he's human, we're human, doubt would come and knock on our door, Paul counters. And he says, hey, cut off my head. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get a crown. Doubt would say, are you crazy? You're not going to have a head to put a crown on. Paul says, you don't understand. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Though this world may execute me, the truth of the matter is, the moment I close my eyes here and the moment I open my eyes there in glory, God is going to give unto me a crown of righteousness. And not only me, but to everyone who has loved his appearing. Do you love the fact that Jesus could come right now? If you don't love that thought, what's wrong? What are you doing? Or what is it that you don't understand? Jesus could come right now. I hope he comes right now. Am I ready? Look, are you ready? Here's our honest answer. I'm ready in Christ. I don't feel ready because I didn't pray 5 hours today. I don't feel ready because I didn't read enough chapters of the Bible today. You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Someone confess with me. That's not how you get raptured. That's not how you get saved. When the Lord comes back, he's not going to have some, you know, the trumpet's going to go on the ark and the engine, the Lord's going to, and Jesus is in the atmosphere, and he pulls out a meter. That one right there. Super saint, arise! It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. If you are a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in you. When the rapture happens, the Spirit of God has got to deposit you into the presence of your Lord Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is all about. To keep us, to seal us into the day of redemption. The rapture is one of the acts of God regarding redemption. And I'm very glad about it. There's two acts of redemption. Now that Christ has risen from the dead. One, the final thing that we await is either A, we die, and the redemption process is complete. We go into the presence of the Lord, awaiting the resurrection. B, the rapture happens, and it's complete. I opt for the latter. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid of pain. I've concluded that. I don't want to hurt. I just, you know, I'm just not into that. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, 1 John 2, 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as at his coming. There's those two words used together regarding the same event. John says, hang in there. Keep walking with Christ. Don't give up. Because when he appears, isn't that interesting? You won't be ashamed, but you'll be confident at his coming. A reference to the rapture of the church. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Are you writing these down? Yep. You got to write them down. 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Wow. That sounded just like Paul, didn't it? About that crown. So number one, what do Christians believe about the rapture? It is an appearing more than a coming, or it is an appearing in the atmosphere and not a physical touchdown, if we could put it that way, upon the earth. That's what the second coming is all about. And that's going to take place at least 7 years after the rapture of the church. What Christians believe about the rapture of the church, number two, is that it is an act of deliverance, not a call to endurance. That's important. You need to jot that down. What Christians believe about the rapture is this, that it is an act of deliverance. God delivers us. It's not a call to endurance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Gosh, that's good news. Do you understand what that means? It's so great. Are you watching for Christ? Is that how you think? Are you living like that? Listen, is that the... those of you who are around my age, do you remember a company? It was a gasoline petroleum company. I forget what company it was, but they used to have the cat, the tiger in the tank. Who?
Exxon.
It was Exxon? Whatever. Remember the tiger in the tank? Remember the tiger? They showed this little cartoon. You'd pull up, you know, and the guys would wash your windows. You young people, you have it. It's sad. We used to be able to pull up and get gas, and they'd come out and wash your windows. Remember that? And when I was a little kid, my parents would tip the gas guy, tip him. And they'd have a little display, and you put it, you'd get a tiger in your tank. And the commercial, do you have a tiger in your tank? And that was a big promotional thing. Big deal. It was a real big deal. Well, you know what's great about this? That when you are eagerly awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ, it is as though there's a tiger in your tank spiritually. You want to know why? It is the unction. It is the push. It is the drive of the Holy Spirit using your life. Because listen, this is a wild thing I'm going to lay out before you. The Holy Spirit takes what you know of the Bible. The Holy Spirit takes what you and I know of the Bible, and He uses it to the glory of God. You say, well, that's not very profound. You know what? You're right. But if you don't know anything about the Bible, the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to work with you and I. That's why we are to ingest the Word of God, so the Spirit's got something to work with. That's why the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Get the tiger, so to speak, in your tank. And that unction is, man, now listen, the Lord could come back any day. Watch this. The Lord could come back any day. That's what the Bible teaches. Wrong would be this. Well, if that's true, let's just put robes on and sit on top of the building and wait. That's why Paul the Apostle said to many believers, if you don't work, you shall not eat. Why? Many believers, when they heard about the imminent return of Christ, they began to camp out. We don't need to get jobs. We don't need to pay our bills. He could be here any day. That was a problem. That's a very selfish twist of a biblical truth. The right way to handle it is he could be back any day. Because that's true, hey, mister, sir, hey, can I tell you some good news? Feed the homeless? Let's go do it. Because you know what? Could be the last day they're hungry. Because the Lord could come back. That's a great way to live. What are we doing with our money as a church? What are we doing with our time as a church? What are we doing with our energies as a church? Because the Lord could come back at any moment. We've got to get going. We got to move. Why? Because I want to be busy about my Father's business when He comes. I want to go now and be doing before either A, I'm too old to do, or B, we lose the freedoms and we can't do them without sacrificing our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Christians Believe About the Rapture. It's actually a fascinating mini-series as part of Pastor Jack's topical studies called What Christians Believe, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.